Disclaimer, the things that you're about to listen to are the thoughts and opinions of the host, Daniel Briggs Adisa, and sometimes other people, either by reference or their guests being interviewed on the podcast. The host is not a professional. He is not a professional of any kind. And sometimes, or many times, the guests themselves aren't. We are simply just people sharing our opinions on this topic. So take it with a grain of salt and also think about this, because that is why this podcast is here, to bring you this perspective so that you can think about these things and hopefully reach a state of balance in thought. So yeah, let me know how it goes for you. Let's get into the episode, shall we? Hello everybody, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time of the day you are listening to this, and welcome to another episode of the Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. Now, today is an exciting episode, mostly for me, but also it's going to be the same for you, because I am having over somebody who I wanted always to be a guest on the podcast. Her name is Rita. She's also a podcaster like I am. In fact, apparently I turned out to be one of her entering into the industry inspirations. Oh my god. Yes, I'm not lying. She'll prove it when you listen, because both of us, we had a conversation over the weekend concerning, you know, the issue of romance and this idea of settling. What it means, is it something that is bad? Is it something that will inevitably happen to each and every single one of us? You know, different things, you know. And then we touched a little bit on how to live the soft life in Nigeria and not blow your account out while trying to live the soft life, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, listening, and hopefully this episode, like all the others, is going to be a blast and will be really, really helpful to you. And with that, we download ourselves into the episode.
Hello, Rita. How are you doing?
Hi, Daniel. I'm fine, thank you.
It's lovely that, like, I'm so elated that you accepted to be on the podcast with me, because I've been thinking about this for a while, that what would be a good topic to talk about with Rita. Like, I want something fun, nothing too serious, but at the same time where we can share, like, really good opinions. I was like, this is the perfect one. This is the perfect one. So yeah, for those of you who don't know Rita, I think I want you to introduce yourself, because there's a way, I've noticed, there's a way you introduce yourself. It's always fun when you introduce yourself. You, like, you have that down. So, like, can you give us that little pitch that you always use?
See, you want to pull my hand. I don't have any elevator pitch. But first of all, I've always been wanting to do this, and this is just like my opportunity. So yeah, before I introduce myself, I want you to know that this is like a mama I made it moment for me. Because the first time I was thinking about getting into podcasting, you know, so I was going online researching on Nigerian podcasters, Nigerian podcasts, you know, just to get a feel of what to expect and how to, you know, also tailor my own podcast. And then I came across yours on Twitter, actually. And the way you were actually pitching your podcast on someone's post, right? And you were like, if you get the time, you can listen, blah, 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 blah. So I clicked on the link and I listened. That was when you used to use songs for your background music. Like, you used to use it.
Yes.
And so when I listened to this, I was like, oh, more. There's competition in this thing. How can I even measure up with this? You know? And now look at me today. I am at the Volatiles with Daniels, right? Oh, God. So, yeah, it's a mama I made it moment for me. I just thought you should know.
Oh, my God. That's so... Please continue. I'll come for later.
All right. Okay, so who is Rita? I am a social worker and I specialize in child protection and safeguarding. I'm also the host of the Girl Unplugged podcast. And as a side hustle, I edit and produce podcast episodes for clients who don't have time for the technicalities of podcasting, you know. And lastly, I am a soft life enthusiast. Yes. I intentionally seek out ways to enjoy my life and take care of myself. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Oh, wow. Like, that, don't worry. Somewhere along the line, I'm going to ask you about that stuff, like, because we need tips. We need tips. Nigeria is so hard to not know the tips for a stuff like, we need tips. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
So today, like I said, we are talking about relationships and this issue of settling, you know, like, every time I find the time to go on social media, Twitter, whatever, the issue of settling always comes up. It's like, don't settle, you can always, you know, get the best you want, different things like that, and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm single. You are single, by the way. I'm helping you advertise. People, Risa is single. Risa is a catch. I'm single. I'm single, right? Should we be listening to people who say, don't settle down, there's always that perfect person for you? Like, is the idea of a perfect person really realistic? That's the first question I want to ask.
Okay, so now, I am going to come to this from two angles, right? Because I don't think this is like a straight answer question, you know? And the way I perceive it and the way I've come to understand it is that everyone eventually gets to settle, you know? And I think that the usage of that word began to connote or evoke a negative feeling in this our coconut head generation. When people when some people started to, you know, feel like when you say you're settling, it rips you off of something. That means you're settling means you have to forgo something, right? And the truth is that yes, you will forgo something, and it's necessarily not a bad thing. As a single person, when you have a standard and you refuse to settle, in quotes, you have eventually settled for your standards, right?
Oh, wow.
And then, on the other hand, people settle in ways that eventually is detrimental to them. And I think these ones are the ones that are particularly like overblown in the social media space. Those are the ones that we hear of often, right? So, and when it becomes detrimental, when it becomes detrimental to people, sometimes it's not immediately, sometimes it's at the long run, you know, because we human beings, we get to change. Not be the person where you love today, go be the same person for the next 10 years. Yes, now, yes, you know, we call it evolving, but it's just human beings changing. And so when that evolving starts to happen, people begin to want something different or want something better, and then it begins to look like, hey, I made a mistake, you know. But the truth for me actually is that you settled with what you felt you needed at that particular time, and so when you moved away from it, or when you grew out of that, you wanted something different, and unfortunately your partner or the person you are with is no longer meeting those needs or expectations, and then you say, you know, it's not working, don't settle. So for me, that is how I see it, and that's why I said that it's not a straightforward answer. Eventually all of us settle. Either you settle for something less, or you settle for your standards and keep on waiting till eternity for that perfect person, which there's no perfect person, by the way. I totally agree.
So currently on the podcast, I'm doing this series about romance. The last two episodes have been breaking down this ideology of being a romantic, how it started, the belief system, the things the belief system promotes. And half the time I railed on Disney and I said Beauty and the Beast was trash, because Beauty and the Beast is trash.
Yes.
The thing Beauty and the Beast has us be is like this concept of the soulmate, right? And I think many of us subscribe to that idea of soulmate, using the word soulmate. But there's a different way we now say it nowadays. We say, even though there's no perfect person out there, you still don't have to settle. And I'm like, I don't get, because at some point, like you said, everybody will settle. You will have to decide on somebody. Now, it is a good thing to have standards, in my opinion. If you don't have standards, that in and of itself is a problem.
Absolutely.
But there are things in those standards that you should be able to compromise. It's like, yes. Somebody was saying something. There are these YouTubers I listen to, Abba and Preach, very, very awesome channel. And they had somebody on at the time talking about why most girls are single and why they don't have long-lasting relationships. And they said sometimes the girls will have 80% of what they are looking for, but because the remaining 20% is not there, they will not choose the guy because they don't want to settle. Like, you get what I'm saying, right? So it's like, sometimes there are things we want, but we can seriously do without. We can do without them. It's like, exactly. What are the most important things we are looking for? Do you have that? Do that. But now, here's the next thing I want to ask you about. Settling. If I settle, doesn't that seem like as if I'm giving up?
Come again.
I mean, if I settle, like, you know, we say, okay, we are agreeing that at some point we settle, right? But like, at least I should be able to get that woman that is the figure eight, Coke bottle, she has a PhD, she's independent, but at the same time, she wants her man, you understand? She's willing to have 3 kids or 5 kids. She's a career woman, but at the same time, she loves being at home to cook for me, to clean, you know, she loves taking care of me. You know, like, I should be able to get that, right? I shouldn't settle for anything less, right?
Yes.
But now, if I settle for anything less, doesn't that mean I'm giving up?
No, you're not giving up. You're just being realistic. And that, I think that is also the problem of the generation we are living in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have an idealistic concept of what we want our life to look like, right? Or what we want our relationships to look like. But we forget that we are in a reality and some certain things are not obtainable in reality. You get, no matter how much you desire something, there are things that will never work out the way we want it to, and we just have to find alternative ways to make do with it. I loved what you said about knowing the things that matter to you most, you know, and there are some truths that I have come to understand. One of them, I know some people may never agree with me on this, and that is fine, but I have come to understand it, and it's helping shape the way I see relationship and marriage and partnership, right? Not everyone will find true love. Not everyone will find true love. It's the reality. I swear, it's the reality of the times we live in. Because a lot of people want different things. A lot of people have their own perception of what they feel love is, which is necessarily not true love, right? So, at the end of the day, some people will find their own version of love. You understand?
Yeah.
That it's okay for them. The other side, some people are going to say, you know what? No, I can't find the type of love I'm looking for. So therefore, I think this love thing is not for me. You know? So, me personally, I've come to accept that I may live all my life in this earth and I may not find true love. And I won't come and kill myself. You understand? But what I would do is that I would be open to it. And I would know what true love is so that when I see it, I recognize it. And I'm able to open up to it. And then, if I eventually don't find it, I'll be rest assured in the love of God, because I know that that one is never failing. It's never failing.
Amen. Amen to that. Amen. But okay. I want to focus a little bit on that part about true love, because there's this, I don't know, maybe you called me a conservative one, and yes. I don't know, maybe that's part of what is skinny to this, but I don't believe in true love. I've never, as a kid growing up, I've never believed in true love, because for me, it's over time I've thought of it, and for me, it's an assumption that there is this one particular form of love everybody should aspire to and subscribe to. And I just don't believe that exists. I don't believe that exists. Because, okay, for instance, let me paint this picture. Toxic relationships. Everybody, we all think we know what toxic relationships are, right? But the thing is, what is toxic for me can be toxic for, it cannot be toxic for somebody else. So now, if because this situation for me is toxic, does that mean it's toxic for everybody? Same way, because I like this person loving me this way, does that not mean everybody should like this person loving themselves that way? Do you get what I'm saying? Okay, for instance now, there's this couple, Adela and her husband Keith on YouTube. They were answering questions about marriage. I think they've been married three years going now. And she said something, said there are times when if she has problems, she doesn't want him around. She gets like, she wants space. She wants space for like that first hour of the issue arising. She wants space. And it is hard for the husband to give her space because he's the do it guy. He's the one, he's the typical guy who wants to come, give solutions, you get. But what she wants is, no, go away. Just leave me alone for now. And that is how she likes to be loved. But then another woman is like, no, immediately I have problems. Feminism, what feminism day? Out the window. Come and solve this issue for me. Jigget. So when I start looking at those situations, I don't believe in true love because of that.
I hear you. And there's actually a point that you're making. And that's why I feel like I'm also a philosopher, right? I always like to bring logical thinking to things, right? So the thing is this, as human beings, I believe there are principles, there are rules for life, and there are rules of life, you understand? And these rules are, how do I put it? What's the word now? Now you be the teacher. Oh yeah. They are
fundamental.
These rules cannot be negotiated with. How do you say it?
Yes.
What's the other way to say it?
I think that's a good way to put it.
They are non-negotiable.
Yes.
And so these rules, whether we feel like we have our own versions of what we think about certain things, the rules will still be the rules, right? And it's universal. So it's not like you say, okay, it works for women, doesn't work for men, or it works for, you understand? So when you show love to whether it's an animal or a plant or a human being, there are certain responses you get to show that is true love. So for example, as a Christian, there are certain markers that tell us, okay, this is love, this is true love. There are certain markers that the Bible tells us that is what love is. So you have love is kind, love is patient, love is, you know, it doesn't count wrongs, it's forgiving, you know, all those things, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at somebody you like, or somebody you are having a close relationship and you're considering spending the rest of your life with, I don't think that the first thing you should look out for is the kind of shoe he's wearing or the kind of car he's driving. People tend to, yes, but yeah, because that's our reality now. People tend to tell, where is he working? What can he buy for me? And all that. We forget that what we should be looking out for is this person patient with me? Because we all have our issues, we all have our baggage going about. How does this person communicate his or her feelings when I express myself, when I'm vulnerable, is this person able to empathize with me and also sympathize? Because these days now we talk of empathy and we are gradually demonizing sympathy as if sympathy is not part of, you know, compassion and all that. So is this person compassionate with me? You understand? Is this person compassionate with me? That is, these are markers that actually this person truly loves me. But when you look at it from the lens of some people, they'll tell you that true love for them is somebody that can swipe their card without asking questions, somebody that will give them their ATM card.
Money.
You understand? You know, they equate it with somebody that is able to get them whatever they want, somebody that is not able to counter their own beliefs, or maybe they do something wrong, the person will not be able to say, ah, baby, you're wrong, go. You understand? They say, ah, anything I do, he likes it like that. He doesn't even complain. Even when I do this, he doesn't. That's not love, my boo. That's not love. The person is just tolerating and enduring you while a piece of him or her is chipping every day. And it's just a time bomb waiting to break, waiting to explode, because the day he or she has it up to here, my dear, that love don't end. For me, I believe in true love, but I think that as human beings, some of us have not reached that awareness or self-awareness to recognize it when they see it. So yeah, but I respect your opinion though. As a conservative.
Actually, I don't even think it has anything to do with conservatism. And I kind of agree with you, because I also believe in those things that if I'm going to end up with somebody, I want somebody who will be compassionate. I want somebody who will try their best to be understanding. I know that understanding will not always be there. So on my own part, I'll have to be patient with the person, and I expect them to be patient with me. Let's respect each other. It's the same thing I teach my students here in school. I always teach them, in every relationship, the principles are the same. Respect, understanding, patience, you know, compassion, considering the other person.
Sorry for the short break in transmission, because I know you are most likely enjoying the episode, but I'm just here to remind you quickly to subscribe to the podcast and also to like the current episode if that function exists on the platform that you're using. But please remember to share this podcast with others. We are not sponsored, and the best thing you can do for us is to share the podcast so that our reach can grow and other people can also get these goodies. But with that said, back to the conversation.
Because nowadays, everywhere I look, almost every dating channel, almost every dating blog, it's like this promotion of self-service. It's always the question of, what is this person going to do for me in this relationship? And never, what am I going to do for that person in the relationship? Like, it's always that one-sided. And for me, I always term that as being unrealistic, because I don't know, it's like, Rita, do you know whether they are making a love robot somewhere? You know, I don't know. Maybe there's this company that we can give our specifications to that would, you know, I'd be like, she must have this, she must do this, she must not shout at me, she must, if I say yes, her no must immediately come to her. It's like, we are dealing with human beings, and if we always forget that part, you will never have long-term relationships.
Just to add to what you're saying, and I was, as you were talking, I just reflected back, you know, we bash our parents, you know, generation and their thinking when we say, some of them will tell you, don't worry, love will grow, right? And you know what? There's a truth in that, because I think that is also where our generation is kind of missing it, because I feel like both our different generations, the baby boomers, the millennials, and now Gen Zs, the millennials and the Gen Zs are a bit on the other extreme of wanting to reverse everything that our parents did. you know.
Yes.
And our parents, which are the baby boomer generation, are on the other extreme, trying to draw us back and tell us it's not the way. So I think with that analogy, love, and as because we are talking about relationship, you mustn't, sometimes you may not need to see everything before you tell this person, yes, I agree. Because remember, relationships and marriage grow people. I've been in relationships where I have never, like, there are things that I didn't even know that were a problem until I was in a relationship, because this singlehood can be very, can be a very myopic something. There are a lot of blind spots when you're single. You know, so when you enter certain relationships, you begin to see loopholes in your character, in your way of living, that will require you to grow. And depending on the person you meet at that point in time, it will now determine whether the person, does the person reflect it, that does the person help you to grow out of those baggages, or is that person the kind of person that tries to, you know, maybe break you or shame you, then you decide. So why I'm saying this is that sometimes you find love in relationships that, in unexpected relationships, maybe relationships that when you looked at it from the outside, you were like, this person is not my type, or this person is not my specification, or this person is not my standard. But when you got closer and you guys started, you know, understanding and knowing each other, you found out that this was actually what you needed, but it's just that you were very myopic not to see it, because you were more focused on some certain things. And that is also where our standards can be blinding and misleading sometimes. You know, they might not come the way we have envisioned them. So there was this guy I met, he's a divorcee, right? And so we started talking and we went out on a couple of dates, and he told me, oh, I'm interested in you, I would want us to, you know, see if this would lead us to, you know, spending life together. I was like, okay, that's fine, I like you, so it's not like I don't have any objections. If you're willing to come 100%, I'm also willing to come 100%, you know. So in the course of the relationship, I found out that, because I'm a very expressive person and I can be very playful, so there was an incident that happened, and I told him, okay, he called me on FaceTime and he was watching a movie at the same time. And I don't like it when people do that. I don't like when people call me, they are talking to somebody in the background while they are still talking to me, you know. I dislike it. So he was watching a movie and he was talking to me, and sometimes he would just, like, his attention would just waver. So I now said, hey, Mr. Man, how dare you call me and be watching movie at the same time? What do I look to you? You know, in a very playful way, but I made sure that my voice conveyed that I don't like this thing. But I also was playful at the same time. So he was now like, what is this now? Can't I just look away for a second? I said, no, I am the center of your attention right now, so you must focus on me. You know? And yeah, the call, eventually we ended the call on a nice note. Good nights were said, and that was it. But do you know that the following day, which was on a Sunday, everybody went to church, so we didn't really communicate in the morning. So me, on my own part, I was still feeling like it was, you know, us being engaged with Sunday things. Eventually now, we'll get to catch up at the end of the day and talk about our day and all that. So only for him to call me around 6 p.m. or thereabout. And when I picked the call, I was now like, oh, finally, I've been waiting for this call, though. I know you would have been busy and everything. I didn't get the warm, you know, the warmth from his voice now. So I was not like, are you okay? He said there's something he wants to talk to me about. And I was now like, okay, what is it? He said that conversation we had yesterday that he didn't like the way I spoke to him. I was not like, how did I speak to you? He said that I was very commanding, and it looks as if I love to dominate, you know. So when he said that thing, my first impulse was to defend myself. I was now like, you know, but I now said to myself, but calm down first, you know, just listen. So it was not like, please let me finish. I said, no problem, just finish. So he now told me that when I was talking to him yesterday, that I sounded like his ex-wife, because his ex-wife can be like that. In fact, that part of the problem was that the ex-wife always wanted to have her way every time. You know, at that moment he said that thing to me, I understood that my action was triggering for him. You know, and he told me, what I learned out of that whole situation was the fact that I can still be expressive but sensitive at the same time, because you don't know what people are going through. And this is what we see in our times now. People always want to tell you, see, I don't take rubbish from people, so I tell it to you how it is. You know, I don't like this, these are my standards. If you don't, there's nothing wrong with that, but how do you convey it? You understand? And what if I was not patient enough to hear him out and understand that it was triggering for him? According to him, he said that nothing I said was wrong, but it was the way I said it. You know, and sometimes I can pride myself as a feminist who knows what she wants, and I can say it. I'm not afraid of anybody. You know, I can be like that. But I learned from that experience that I can still establish my boundaries or my likes or my wants without making the other person feel like they are being controlled, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
So, but I wouldn't have learned it if I had not been in that situation where, you know, to understand some of these things. So sometimes you see a relationship and you're like, I don't want this. But when you get into the relationship, there are more things the relationship will offer to you that you may not think you needed, because you're looking for a perfect person. Maybe somebody who has not married before, a virgin, you know, and all those other things we always have in our list. We just meet them and they transform our thinking, that helps us become better people in other relationships or just in the society at large.
That's amazing. Like, because I know nowadays we tend to tell ourselves, and some people might think the next thing I'm about to say is very misogynistic, but it's actually true. We tend to tell young ladies nowadays that it is not their responsibility to, you know, like, compromise for any man. Whatever trauma you are bringing from the previous relationship is not my business. And it's like, everybody carries trauma. Everybody carries things, bad experiences that triggers them. And if you say you want a relationship with somebody, you want a loving relationship, you need to be willing to compromise and learn about their pains and how to help them through their pains. Obviously, there's a limit to all these things. If somebody is going to lay their hands on you, I tell everybody, man or woman, if anybody lays their hands on you, the first thing you should do is to leave. Like my pastor said, you can forgive from the abroad. You don't need to be there physically. You can forgive from abroad. So like, I don't see when it comes to domestic violence, whether you're a man or you're a woman, you there is nothing that justifies you going through that. So it's like, that one is not your business.
You can't love people from afar.
Exactly. You can't love people from afar. Exactly. But in general, those are kind of like extremes. But in general, I agree that, you know, compassion, what's that word again? You know, caring, being considerate, empathy, yeah. All those things, they are required. And those things are difficult to do. You won't be perfect in executing them, which is why both parties need to bring those things to relationships.
Let me add to what you just said, those qualities or those values cannot be romanticized. It requires like hard work, you understand. Mm-hmm. It requires a level of commitment and compromise, so it can't be romanticized. It's not a chocolate and flower something.
Yes, I'm actually quite glad you used the word romanticize, because during the old series of romanticism, one thing that has been constant is that we expect everything to be by instinct. You understand? Yes. You just know, this person will just know how to love me, this person will just know what to say, this person will not, really? Will just know what to do. And we forget that there is no training in life on how to be the perfect human being.
Yes.
There isn't. We are learning as we go, sincerely. I don't want to use the word failed relationship, but that's how some people put it. With every relationship, both past and present, we learn how to love each other, we learn about ourselves, and we learn how to love other people. Before I let you go though, Risa, those top tips you mentioned in the beginning, you must give us. Because, like, let me paint a picture for you. Many of us, let me use Lagos. Lagos people, they need the soft life tips the most, because that city is crazy. I lived in Lagos for like a year or two, and then I moved out. And then going back, I just went back for like a couple of hours. Visa, ha! I was like, did I live in this city?
Yes.
Lagos is something else, right? But I think every single person, especially given how the world is, you know, the pandemic, everything, we all need soft life tips. So can you please just give us a couple of your soft life tips to make life easier for us while we are looking for that partner that will love us and will allow us to love them?
Okay, so I just have three tips and I'll make it quick, right? The first one is living in the present. One of the things I find out that robs us of our soft life is always thinking about tomorrow. So you're always like, hey, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. You forget to live in the present. And in the present means living in the now, today. If it's Gary you have in your house, look for fun ways to take that Gary in a way that it will satisfy and give you happiness. You know.
Yeah.
Number two tip is be curious about life. You know, there's more to life than just go hustle for money, buy food and eat, buy car, build house. No, be curious about life. Be curious about the little things and the simple things of life that matter. You know, things like taking a walk, things like sleep, things like buying comfortable sheets and pillow that will make your sleeping experience wonderful. Those are the simple things that make life beautiful, you know. But we neglect it because we are looking at something very big. We feel like when we move into that big house and drive that car, that is when. But you're missing out on the now. There are simple things that are enjoyable about life that you can still get without breaking the bank, right?
Yeah.
And the last tip about it is about the soft life is maximize whatever you have to give you the best experiences life can offer. So in a month, right, you have 30 to 31 days. How do I maximize 31 days in such a way that it will enable my life? Not in a way that money can't, you get, but it will add to my pleasurable life experience. So this month you can be like, how do I treat myself this month for all my hard work and hustle? You know, do I need to go to a spa? Do I need to, you know, give myself a new shirt? Do I need to cook myself a treat? did I discover somewhere that I need to try maybe Chinese food or, you know, something out of the ordinary that gives you an experience that makes you like forget that hustle for 1 minute and, you know, and just enjoy yourself. You know, we hear about soft life, or even saying to myself, you know, this month I've been washing clothes with hand. In the next 2 months, I will save. Yes, exactly. Or in the next 3 months, I am going to buy a washing machine to alleviate me of, you know, this is you trying to live intentionally and trying to live a pleasurable life. Because trust me, when you start using washing machine, you realize that, hey, suffer head doesn't get you any. You will see how your hand will begin to look like a baby's hand. You now be like, now my hand be this old.
I join you on that point, sister, because there was a day I was washing clothes. We have a washing machine at home, and it's not a fancy washing machine, it's a simple washing machine, but it does the job. And I think that's another thing. The simple things we want to add, we don't need them to be fancy, really don't. I used to post these things on my private social media account before, Instagram, which I haven't posted in a while. Like all these smoothie recipes and everything. All I used to do was, I'll just buy banana 100 naira. I'll buy sachets of milk. There's sugar in the house, there's water in the house. I'll just mix everything together inside the blender and then, you know, blend. And I have my smoothie. From there, I started experimenting. And, you know, it was just something simple, inexpensive, that I could do to calm myself down, just, you know, and just post on Instagram like rich life. Meanwhile, I've not spent more than 500 naira. So thank you so much for those tips, Rita, really. And thank you so much for the conversation. I really think there are some gems that you dropped that have been helpful, opened my eyes to some things, some ways I wasn't thinking about. And I'm sure it could be the same for the listeners. So thank you so very much for coming on the podcast, Rita.
The pleasure is all mine, Daniel. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And also, before I go, lastly, where can we find you? Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at The Girl Unplugged.
Yeah, so, and people listen to her podcast, The Girl Unplugged with Rita. Sincerely, it's one of the best. I think maybe I should start, like, maybe I should start one small blog somewhere of Nigerian podcasters and why I love their podcast. Because Rita's podcast is honest. It is pure. It is upfront about the value it brings. She doesn't try to hide anything. She doesn't try to. None of her titles have been clickbait. I remember the episode you did with, I forgot the name of your guest, but it was on the Hagan Chronicles or something. Yes. The Hard Girl Life. You know. Yes. I laughed so much, and I also understood some things from the perspective of girls that didn't want to be in a relationship or acted in certain ways, like that perspective of the heartbreak. You know, it was something that was difficult for me to understand because I haven't been too much heartbreak, you understand, but like I could understand it because of the way he puts on this book. So it's a refreshing experience. So thank you so very much for the work you do, Rita. And thanks very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you too for having me. I'm glad.
And that was the episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening on to the end. I hope this episode had a lot of gems and a lot of learning moments for you as it did for me. And with this, I'll be signing off. Don't forget to follow Rita on Instagram at The Girl Unplugged, and also listen to her podcast, The Girl Unplugged with Rita, because it is an amazing experience. Also, don't forget to follow this podcast on Instagram. Is at Volatile with Daniel. And with that, I'll be seeing you in 2 weeks' time. Ciao.